We got to thinking about our own data that we have here in USDA, and we probably got more detailed data on color and bales than probably anywhere in the world, because, you know, when we make these grade standards, we have to buy a lot of cotton bales to do that, and we monitor the color of those bales when we get it, and we store them. We keep a rolling inventory of several hundred bales that we keep, and we measure that color every year in these bales. And so we've got quite a history going back several years. And none of this data had ever really been compiled before. Most of it's just in hard copy. And so we made an effort here about 6 months ago to start going back and actually putting all that data into a database. And so far we've got a little over 300 bales that we've put into the database. And that's the information I'll be sharing with you today on what we found. So the purpose of this study is to study the color changes in warehouse cotton bales using bales obtained for making the USDA upland grade standards. And all these bales are stored in our Memphis warehouse, USDA cotton standards warehouse. And these are used for making the upland grade standards. And we make Pima grade standards, but I'm going to focus on the upland side this morning. That's what we're looking at. And one single set of upland standards is made up of 15 physical grade boxes. And, you know, these grade boxes cover the entire range of color and leaf grade for U.S. cotton. And we've been making these boxes since the early 1900s, and we continue to make them every year. They're only good for 1 year because, you know, color changes, and so the boxes have to be, they expire June 30th of every year, and we replace them with a new set. And we have a lot of customers around the world that still buy these standards. And we make up about 1,500. Used to make up a whole lot more of them, but as the world's moved more toward instrument testing, the demand has gone down. But we still make about 1,500 and sell these boxes primarily outside the U.S. That's where most of them go, to cotton merchants and cotton associations. And so a lot of cotton is looked at against these boxes, and so they still play an important part. Now, in making these, on average, we purchase about 100 to 125 new bales out of the current crop every year. And, you know, we do this to maintain an inventory of bales. About two-thirds of the bales in each year's standards are made up of new crop. But, you know, you can't find every position, every grade, every year. You know, just depending on the crop quality, you may not be able to find everything. And so we do maintain what I call a rolling inventory of cotton standards bales. And we have about 300 of those bales, and, you know, every year we try to update with new bales from the crop that are good candidate bales for new grade standards. And, you know, whenever we can't find a bale, well, we've got our inventory. And so we've got choices between current crop and warehouse bales that we can use. And a lot of these bales get carried over for many years, a lot of them, because since cotton moves, it's not uncommon for one bale to be used in a grade standard of a 21 1 year, and maybe 2 years later it moves up and we can use it as 11 in a position up in 11. And so because of that, we do hang on to these bales and sometimes get double use, even triple use out of some of them. About the warehouse, the Memphis warehouse is pretty typical of cotton storage. It's not air conditioned, it's enclosed, pretty typical of Mid-South cotton warehouse storage. It does have some fan ventilation that we kick on in the hot months of the summer, just mainly for a little comfort. And same thing in the wintertime. We do have a little bit of heat that we use when it gets really cold, just to keep things from freezing and make it a little more comfortable for workers back there. But pretty much typical warehouse storage. As far as the bale handling, sampling, and color measurement, every time we receive a new bale from the crop, first thing we do is we open that bale up, cut top bands off, and we pull 12 samples from across the fan head of that bale. And those 12 samples then are then taken and made into what we call biscuits. And so we get a total of 12 biscuits made up. Those 12 biscuits are read on our colorimeter, and then all those readings are plotted on the official color chart. And that represents that bale color, and so we've got a log of the bale color for that bale, and then it goes back into storage. And when it comes time to actually select bales for making the cotton standards, you know, we've got options in every position and every grade that we can choose from and put it all together to make the standards. Now, for the color study itself, we selected, went back, and so far we have pulled in 307 bales, and it's all historic. I didn't use any of the bales that are in our current inventory because those are still forming some history. I just chose the bales where they've either been exhausted or depleted, and those are the ones that we have focused on right now. And so you can see all the crop years that of the bales of these 307. So we're representing a lot of crop years all the way back to 2001. You don't see a whole lot of bales in 14 and 15 because most of our bales in 14 and 15 are still, we still got a lot of those in storage, and so those have not been included yet. Those are still candidate bales and still could be used as grade standards. So this is the breakdown of the bales by year, and here's the breakdown by region. And so, you know, got a good representation across the country. Most of the bales come out of Texas, but a lot of them come out of the far west, out of California, and got quite a few out of Mid-South and Southeast. So we got a pretty good representation across the country. And, of course, by color grade, they cover the entire range of all the color grades. Most of the bales that we do keep are in the higher white grades because those are the ones that tend to move the most, and those are your more popular and more predominant grades. But you see, we do have bales across the full range of color grades. The way we measure color, you know, we measure the RD and plus B. This chart represents the relationship between RD and plus B in the color grades. The y-axis is the RD, which is the brightness of the cotton, you know, the brightness or the whiteness, reflectance. And the x-axis is the plus B, the degree of yellowness. And so whenever you measure the RD and plus B, where those points intersect, that defines the color grade. So let's just jump right into some data. And before I give a summary, I want to just show some individual bales because I think that kind of gives you a good idea of what we see in cotton color change. We'll start here with a California bale. This is pretty typical. This is over a two-year period. And the arrows in that, you know, in the line you see, the arrows are just showing the direction. The actual plots of the color are the solid dots, you know, the round circle being the initial position when we receive the bale. The triangle would be year one, and then the diamond shape would be year two. And so for this particular bale, you see it didn't move a whole lot the first year, but second year it took off and moved quite a bit. And overall, we saw plus B drift of about 1.6 and RD drift of negative 1.4. So it got more yellow, got a little duller. And I've got an average over there because I calculated an average based on region. Every region, I kind of determine what a good average colored movement would be. And so I'm going to compare all these individual readings back to what's kind of an expected average based on these 307 bales where we kind of came up with a summary of average movement. So this one is a typical average for a high 21. This is a bale that's move from a 21 into the 11, then across the 11 all the way into a 12. And again, this is pretty typical of what you'll see in most cotton bales over a two-year period in this range of color grade. You know, the higher grades do move more. Here's another California bale that moved a little bit more, got a little more movement. And you can see in the first year, it moved quite a bit. This bale moved a lot in the first year and then really slowed down the second year. Don't really know what the reason for movement of when these bales. There's a lot of variation in how bales move, how much they move, and that's what we see in a lot of this cotton is that it's hard to predict what it's going to do. You can make a few generalizations about the direction it's going to go, but as far as the amount, it's hard to predict. Third bale from California. This one had of all the bales we tested. Or that I pulled data from, I think this would move the most in terms of California cotton. You can see it moved a whole 2.5 units of plus B and dropped 1.8 units of RD. And again, most of this movement happened in the first year and slowed down in the second year. Texas cotton, this is a Texas cotton fairly typical of a 31 grade. And over a two-year period, plus B drift about 1.3, on average about 1.5 is what we see in 31 grade cotton. And RD drift went down about about a half a unit, which is pretty close to average. Moving to another Texas bale, over the first 2 years, again, about average, slightly above. But what's interesting about this bale is look what happened over the next 2 years. I said, you know, a lot of bales we keep, the only bales I included in this study were bales that we kept for at least 2 years. A lot of bales we only keep for 1 year, and I didn't include that data. I just pulled bales that had at least 2 years. Well, a lot of those bales have 3, 4, up to 7, 8 years of history on them. Some bales we keep that long. And this is a bale that we actually kept for 4 years. And you see over 4 years, it really took off, moved a lot. And I see a plus B drift of 3.2 and RD drift of negative 2.5. Hopefully this bale, this kind of movement is not really seen because typically bales don't hang around this long. But, you know, I don't know how conditions in a storage container going overseas, how that may accelerate the color movement. You know, this is a bale that's been stored in our warehouse. Again, not air-conditioned space, but not an overly hot space either. You know, it's not like in a hot container where the color movement could be accelerated. And you know, in some of the complaints that we've seen movement in this magnitude, and just don't know what could happen with cotton that is exposed to really high temperatures. You could see an accelerated movement. At least that's my guess as to what could be happening. And here's another Texas cotton that really took off. This one, again, this just happened in 2 years. And over this two-year period, a plus B drift of 3.9, RD drift of negative 2.8. Of all the bales in our warehouse, I think this had the very most movement of any bale that we've ever seen. At least of these 307 bales, this was the one that had the most movement. And actually got another year date on this one. And you see after 2 years of this one, it had pretty much hit its dead end. Third year, it didn't move much more. And seem to see that in a lot of these cottons where they do have a kind of an end point. You know, they don't just keep on going forever and ever. They do eventually, I guess, eat. I don't know what's going on microbiologically. They're probably eating up the nutrients on the cotton fibers, and at some point it just basically kind of becomes inert. You know, and we see this in a lot of our old grade standards that are 30, 40 years old. They don't move anymore. So cotton does reach a point where it does stop moving. It's just hard to detect or determine exactly when that point is. Now moving to a lower grade cotton, this being a strict low Midland 41. And as you get down these lower grades, this is pretty typical. You don't see a whole lot of movement. On average, you only see about a half unit drift of plus B and very little RD drift. And so this is a pretty typical bale. This is out of the southeast. And most of our 41s are pretty much like this. You don't see 41s take off and move like you do in the higher grades. So now let's move to kind of a summary of what we see across all. This is looking at plus B first, and this is looking at the plus B drift in all of the white grades from the 11 good middling all the way down to 71 good ordinary. And this kind of puts it into perspective here. And looking at the 11 grade first on the far left, I've got three bars, and these are accumulative. And so, you know, in the first year, it moved 1 year. After 2 years, it had moved a total of 1.7. After 3 years, the 11 had moved to 2.1. And so that shows the amount of movement in total for, you know, going to a three-year period. And so as you move from the high grades to the low grades, you see that the amount of movement does decrease. And, you know, you get down to the 61s and 71s, and it's pretty much, they're not moving hardly at all. But if anything, you can say that plus B is always on the increase. It may not increase much, but you never see it move negative. It's always to the plus side. So that's the white grades in terms of plus B. Now looking at the RD changes, well, RD changes as well. And RD is a little bit more interesting because it doesn't all go one direction. You see that in the high grades on RD, you see the brightness decreases. You know, the cotton becomes duller in the 11s and 21s. And 31s, it's pretty much neutral. There's not much RD change in the 31s. And then as you start to go from the 41s up, you start to see a little bit positive increase. You know, the cotton actually starts to get a little bit brighter with age. And that's kind of what happens with the with those lower grades. And so I thought this was interesting just to see that, you know, as you go move from the lower up to the higher, you see this change. And where you got a flip-flop and where the bright cottons are decreasing in brightness and the lower grade cottons are actually increasing a little bit in brightness. Now, as far as comparing territories, regions, since we got such a mix of cottons, we couldn't do a whole lot of this, but we do have enough California and Texas cottons that I did draw this comparison. And most of our 21s come out of Texas, and about 100% of our 11s come out of California. And so, you know, comparing the plus B movement in California 11s versus the Texas 21s, pretty much the same. You know, you see a little bit more movement probably in the 11s, but I think that's more of just a fact of the 11s are a brighter cotton. You know, the higher grade cottons are going to tend to move more. I don't think it's really a regional effect as much as it is just the origin of the cotton, the original color of the cotton. But in terms of plus B, you see about 2 units of movement over a 3-year period of time. As far as RD, again, not too much difference. I guess you could say that the California cottons tend to move to the negative side a little more than the Texas cottons do. You see a little bit more. And you see this in the, you know, on those plots. When you look at the slope of the lines, on those California cottons, it tends to be a little bit more of a slope downward than on the Texas cottons. Texas cottons may not be quite as big of a slope. So California cottons do decrease in brightness a little more than Texas cottons. Again, may just be simply a matter of the 11s versus 21s. It's not California, Texas, but just the fact of the grade. Now, looking at the plus B on the tinged and spotted grades, again, everything moves positive. You know, and cotton moves toward the yellow. But it was kind of interesting to see how the movement of plus B moves across the spotted and tinged grades. You know, for the really bright 23, you know, 23 is your brightest spotted grade. It behaves more kind of like the 11s and 21s, where you see quite a bit of color movement in the plus B, and so it moves positive. Whereas you get to the 33, it's pretty much flat. But I think there may be something else going on here between 23s and 33s. 23s are primarily from Texas. 33s are, a lot of those are from the mid-south and southeast. And so there could be some regional effect here, whereas the, you know, Texas cottons may tend to have a little more plus B movement compared to the 33s and 43s of the southeast and mid-south. But again, we've got different color grades. The 23s are brighter cotton, and those are going to tend to probably move a little more than the duller grades. But across the spots, once you get 33, 43, 53, you know, you see some slight increase, a little more increase as you get to 43s, 53s, 63s. But it really jumps up on the tinged grades. So with tinged cotton, I think you can safely say that they do have a little more plus B movement than the spotted grades. As far as RD, 23, you see that effect of getting a little duller, kind of following the track of 11s and 21s. The higher quality cottons are going to get a little duller in RD, whereas as you move to the lower grades in the spots, the RD is going to go up a little bit. And you see quite a bit of upward movement in those 33s, and then it kind of, you know, I don't know if that's really would continue to hold up, but because to me that's a little unusual that 33s spike up like that and then come back down. So I don't know that that would hold up if as we add more bales to this. But I think you can safely say that the RD does increase as you do move across your spotted grades and move away from those 23s. Okay. And then the tinged grades, you see pretty much a downward movement in what's going on with the RD. They're getting duller. So, in conclusion, I mean, an obvious thing, as cotton ages, the yellowness changes more than the brightness. You know, when you put them in proportion to each other, the plus B is changing more. And the plus B increases with the age for all cottons, but the amounts of increase vary. You can safely say that the plus B is always going to increase, but the amount that it increases is going to vary, and it depends on pretty much the grade of the cotton. And it's pretty safe to say that in the highest, that the highest plus B shifts are going to be in the high white grades. That's where most of the big movement is going to take place, in your 11s and 21s. You see a moderate plus B change in the high spotted grades, you know, like the 23, and you see it in the tinged grades. The tinged cottons are going to have more plus B movement. And your lowest plus B changes, those are going to be found in the low white grades and the mid to low spotted grades. For RD, increases with age for some cottons and decreases with age for others. So, you know, 31 seems to be about the breaking point, somewhere in that 31, 41. You know, the brighter 11, 21 cottons, you know, they're going to brighten up, whereas those other cottons are going to go duller. Yeah, so, you know, you see decreases with the high white grades and increases with the low grades. And a small decrease in 23 and a moderate increase in 33. And small increases in the other spotted grades. To Ken's grades show small decreases in RD. And so with that, you know, our plan is to continue adding to this database. I think this is probably the only place in the world where we look at cotton color and hang on to cottons this long and have this much historical data on cotton bales and can really see the what's going on with changes in cotton. And as we add to this database, I think we'll gain some more useful information. So this is a kind of a continual plan of study now that we've put this database and we've been applying some data analytics to it and should be able to monitor this for years to come and just maybe kind of get a handle of what's going on. As this database grows, we'll be able to do more comparisons of other variables such as region and climate and some other things that we may be able to factor into it to try to pinpoint which cottons change and maybe have a little more predictability in how cottons are going to change. Well, with that, I'll conclude. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Questions? No, we do not. We do not do that. But I can tell you that from the bales we've brought in, we have never seen any signs of excess moisture. Well, I'll take that back. In some of the lower grades, you know, some of the really tinged grades, we have seen some, looks like may have some water damage, but overall, haven't really seen any. But no, we don't monitor the incoming moisture of the cottons. That may be something we need to do. Yeah, like I said, we don't monitor the moisture. Yeah, we don't monitor the moisture on these grade standards bales, and you know they typically come in. What's that? I don't know, but I think it's probably. I do know this, that in the winter months we see the least amount of change. That it seems to be primarily heat driven. Moisture is probably a variable in this. And, you know, the cottons that are stored in our warehouse are not going to take on much moisture. You know, it does get humid in the Mid-South, but I don't think you're going to see moisture. Even if we receive a cotton bale at 5%, I don't think it's going to increase that significantly. For these particular bales, didn't look at that, but I can safely say that no, those are not going to change because, you know, with our calibration cottons, we store a lot of calibration cottons and verification cottons for years, and we've got a lot of historic cottons for micronair, length and strength. Those properties are those mechanical properties are stable. They do not change. We've got lots of data showing the stability of the other measurements. Color is the only one that moves on us. Okay, thank you.